This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
To figure out ways to get around a snowstorm on the East Coast and in the South while others are enjoying tooling around on cheaper gas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here on my show, America Tonight. It's interesting. We got a couple of different places we're going to take you, but one of them is to the Carolinas, Alabama, and Georgia. If you were trying to get on a plane today, probably you struggled as thousands of flights were canceled. And, of course, the reason why is because of the crazy amount of snow in Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, forget about it. 1,100 flights were canceled to and from there. And, of course, they were because, you know, you had in some places up to 12 inches to 20 inches of snow. So you're not getting anywhere there. And they can de-ice and do whatever they want to do, but they know they're not going to take any kind of risk there. So it's obvious when you have that kind of weather, it's shut down. And you have a lot of shuttle passengers between Charlotte and some of the smaller cities. Of course, that was all canceled too. Many people take shuttles into Washington, D.C. from that region. Nobody was getting out. That's the bottom line. And then you had power outages, too. And, you know, you have Governor Cooper saying that, Bob Cooper, listen, if you don't have to be on the road, why are you getting on the road in North Carolina? Because it's just stupid. Because we have to rescue you. And then who knows how long that takes. And there was just too many people that they were going to have to go after. And 500 wrecks is a ton of wrecks. So this was a pretty big snowstorm. Not getting in, not getting out. Just got to bide the time for at least a couple of days. And it was the kind of stuff, you know, that comes down that, let's just say, sticks, right? It sticks. In the meantime, as we are into the holiday season, happy Hanukkah for those who are celebrating. That's wrapping up on the last day. But Christmas, etc., means travel for a ton of people, too. Some of them will be doing it in cars. And gas, the average price of gasoline is $2.40 for regular. So imagine what it is for people in SUVs. They're getting a pretty good deal on that, too. And then, you know, if you're in one of these Sam Club things or Sam's Club or Costco or your grocery store takes some money off of what the gas would be, and I know that happens a lot around the country, then you probably are getting some pretty good gas prices. And that is a common denominator that everybody talks about. When I jump on the show, I always say, what's happening in your backyard and mine that we're all talking about? It's gasoline. You know, hey, I pulled over the pump. That never stops. The weather and the price of gasoline never stops being a topic of conversation unless you do the electric thing. And then it is, where are the charging stations? And I can't believe I didn't get all the way home, which has happened to a couple of my friends because they didn't really gauge it correctly. It's a different kind of discussion, but not one that is a common denominator, not at this point. It's not. That could change in the future. But it's, and we thought it was going to change pretty rapidly. You know, the electric car was around 100 years ago. But guess what? It really kind of got buried. And now, with the death of the Volt, you know, the Volt, et cetera, this doesn't mean there's not going to be electric cars because there is a push for that. However, you know, the cars, the self-driving cars and all that. But it's not happening overnight. Not happening overnight. In the meantime, we also look to what's buzzing in Washington, D.C. And what's buzzing there is still Robert Mueller and this Russia investigation. And what's the latest on the Russia investigation? Are we finally going to have some sort of wrap of here's the full report, here's what's happened, here's how it's all tied together, etc. And, you know, it's so interesting because I was just reading this list somebody sent me, a journalist, I'm sure it's out there, but that Donald Trump, the president, and Robert Mueller are both on Time Magazine's shortlist for Person of the Year. Wow. Flip a coin. And, of course, there's others that are there that are on the list, like, you know, Meghan Markle, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's accuser, the California professor. So there's different types of people that are on the list for different reasons, and they're both on the list, and it's just, they're at odds, obviously, and it's just so crazy, isn't it? And then while that's happening, what's going to happen with the investigation and then the reports that this impeachment could be real, that there's calls for impeachment, get out of here. That's not happening. I mean, I really honestly would bet, of all the things I could bet on, I would bet that this is not going to happen. Not going to happen. Yes, it's always out there. It's always been out there. But what is the proof that's going to sink the president's ship? What is it? You know, you've got the new Congress takes office, but what's going to happen? Nothing's going to stick. There's nothing sticking there. It's, of course, campaign finance law is the concern. And then the former lawyer, Michael Cohen, and the money and paid to women and that kind of thing. But I think that case is not going to be the case that touches at all the president. Not while he's in office. I don't believe so. I really, really don't think so. I wonder about this, though. Nancy Pelosi, supposedly, and Chuck Schumer are going to offer the president $1.3 billion for the border wall. That's short of the $5 billion he wanted, because we got the spending bill that's hanging out there. If they can't come to an agreement, the government could shut down December 22nd, of course, days before Christmas. Schumer and Pelosi will sit down with the Prez on Tuesday at the White House. They're going to wrap on the deal, discuss the deal, in other words. And Trump said last Friday the wall would pay for itself in a single month. He said, we're talking about a wall for $20 billion, $15 billion. I could do it even cheaper if I have to, and it'll be better than anyone's ever seen a wall. Think of that. Think of what you'd save. Democrats have stipulated the border money can only be used for fencing. Republicans are saying the president would veto that bill. Who's going to win the tug of war over the border wall? $5 billion? $1.3 billion? There is a lot of distance, a lot of real estate between those two numbers. And if the president wants to stick on that, which I think he will, it may be that the government shuts down days before Christmas. It really, really could happen. Wow. How about that, huh? Ho, ho, ho. All right, hang with us. On the flip side, we're talking some numbers. Another version of We Can Count here on America Tonight.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you locate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Number for you, 30 billion. Check this out. Mexico is going to pump 30 bill into Central America. What? Why would they do that? You know why they're doing it? To stop the migrants from flowing in through Mexico. So what they're saying is over the next 5 years, this is the initiative that all of these poor and violent countries, the idea that they're going to crawl through Mexico is a no-no. So the Mexican announcement comes as more than 5,000 Central American migrants traveling in caravans have congregated in Tijuana, where they hope to make asylum claims in the United States, but the waiting lists are like several months long. So this is interesting. This is this test, really, of the relationship between the new Mexican president, Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, and President Trump, who has already cut aid to Central America and vowed to halt all foreign aid to the region if the caravan's not stopped. And what he's saying is, we're going to guarantee that the rights of migrants in our territory are respected. How to resolve the problem, we're pulling it together and putting it together in our minds, a proposal to invest in productive projects and job creation, and not only that, in work visas as well for Mexican and for the United States, because there's just nothing to gain here. Isn't that interesting? I mean, this would likely give Mexico an excuse to put up a wall and then force people to cross the only way possible, the illegal way. I mean, yeah, boy, it's interesting. there is a border war for sure, and now we're seeing push from the other side. So, you know, what does that mean? And Tijuana is the prime example because it's going to take so long to process. It's going to take a long, well, months to process it, you know, absolutely. In the meantime, we jump to this heartwarming story, I think, anyway. Can you imagine your whole life is shredded and the people around you are gone, dead or missing, and maybe they find them? And it's because of a horrific fire. In Paradise, California, that's what happens. We know. We saw what happened. The campfire destroyed so many lives and so many homes just gone. So a month after the campfire, a homeowner returned to see what was left of the property, shocked and completely overjoyed to see the dog survived. Her dog survived. Andrea Gaylord came back to her home, said that her beloved dog, Madison, was waiting for her to return. She said she had a feeling that Madison survived the fire, so she, you know, connected with somebody who was an animal rescue volunteer. They checked on the property. And how about that? There was food and water, and people were leaving food and water and all that kind of stuff because they got evacuated and they couldn't get back there. Remember, 84 people were killed. And this is a town of 150,000 people, so that is, I mean, that's awesome. It's not awesome. It's crazy in one sense because you can see the burned out cars and, you know, really basically nothing's there. But then you see the dog just sitting there. And that's so cool. It's so cool that they survived and so cool that after all those days, after a month, they go back and there's the dog. I mean, we need some good news, right? That certainly is good news. No question about that. All right, let's jump to some other numbers of significance. How about gas numbers? If you're filling up, we've talked about this. Let me give you the specifics. $2.40 is the national average. It's expected to hold up through the holidays, and it just keeps falling. The U.S. price of oil has fallen by nearly a third since its early October peak to about 51 on Monday afternoon. And they say it's still going to go down, down, down. The lowest, Missouri, is averaging $2 a gallon. Some of you are listening to me there. South Carolina, next cheapest, $2.06. California is always the most expensive, but it's less than $4, $3.45. So 40 cents cheaper in Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. If you were to pull up to fill up, that's like $6 in saving. To save that much savings, to save that much money. Wow. I got to say, that's pretty good, huh? $6, that's when you're really talking about it. I saw a story on this new facility, the Gigafactory, Tesla. Tesla's Gigafactory is what they call it. And at Gigafactory, they go 24 hours a day in shifts. Workers produce battery packs and drive units in a week to power 5,300 of Tesla's Model 3 sedans. Tesla says at 5.4 million square feet, that's equivalent to about 50 Home Depot stores, the factory is 30% of its potential size and is already producing more batteries than other car makers combined. 7,000 Tesla workers. The factories are responsible for increasing manufacturing employment in the Reno-Sparks area by 55% since 2014. That's huge, needless to say. Hallways, production areas, offices, conference rooms, just constantly humming along. And the battery is the thing, right? And that's what we're talking about. And you have to have that. It's a machine, the Gigafactory. I'm curious. I would love to see it. I mean, just these long, unobstructed, straight corridors. They refer to them as spines where they can move parts. And I was looking at this conveyor belt of the parts and it's pretty crazy. And you see the outside of the building, you can see how long it is from the outside, and they're making those battery cells. But the problem is the Gigafactory has no photos, video, and audio recording, and people walking through can only view areas of production that are visible through small windows. Panasonic invested $1.6 billion in the $5 billion Gigafactory. So they believe, and they're smart, because that's going to be a moneymaker for them. That investment will pay itself off in no time. Guarantee it. I would be stunned. I mean, I'd be absolutely stunned if that didn't happen. Very, very doubtful. In the meantime, it's all about striking. Kaiser Permanente in the news. Why? Because mental health clinicians started a week-long strike for more resources. There were hundreds of workers picketing in two of Cali's largest cities. So psychologists, therapists, social workers, psychiatric nurses from one of the biggest nonprofit health maintenance organizations demanding more staffing to reduce the time patients have to wait for appointments. They said, you know, things like our patients are suffering. Every time a patient has to wait 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks to get back to see us, that colludes with the severity of their illness. And they say they can't take it, that something has to happen here. And just kind of an interesting fact, according to the National Union of Healthcare Workers, they represent about 4,000 professionals. They're expected to participate in protests at the Kaiser hospitals and or facilities across the state of California through Friday. 1,500 workers collectively picketed on Monday in 6 out of 8 locations, including L.A. and San Francisco. So they want those resources. They say it's desperate time. You know, 5 years ago, Kaiser was fined $4 million for violating two California laws, one requiring insurers to provide equal coverage for physical and mental health conditions, another limiting how long patients wait to access care. About 8.8 million Californians get their health care through Kaiser right now, through that organization. So, wow. The participation in the organization, that's pretty interesting. The outcome will be also interesting to watch, to see where it goes, if they get that funding and they get that help. Hang with us. Coming up next, some mind-blowing thoughts on where we're headed with technology. Forbes Books at Bedtime with me, Kate Delaney, and my pal Greg Stebbin next.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky. The search for a new chief of staff President Trump reportedly looking at his options to replace John Kelly, who is leaving at the end of the year. North Carolina Congressman Republican Mark Meadows asked by reporters on Capitol Hill if he's been asked to fill the slot, Meadows issuing a written statement saying, "Serving as chief of staff would be an incredible honor. The president has a long list of qualified candidates, and I know he'll make the best selection for his administration and for the country."
A man was killed when a tree fell on his truck. A woman living at home on hospice care passed away.
An extremely deadly and dangerous situation in North Carolina. Democratic Governor Roy Cooper says at least three people killed in a massive snowstorm in his state.
A year's worth of snowfall or more fell in some places in little more than a day.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we're excited about our next guest. James McCann is in our virtual green room. And check this out. I'm going to give you a little bit of his background. He spent 20 years as a CEO where he oversaw some of the operations of some of the world's leading food retail businesses, including Tesco, very big name in Europe and Asia. And I'll tell you what, he's written this book that's called Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, which when I think about business and then I think of his background as not only that, as an investor, a board member, and an advisor to early stage companies that are disrupting the retail and consumer goods space, I think this is a book that you definitely need to read. So, James, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate.
Can you describe the tech revolution for us?
Yeah. So if you sort of zoom out and think about the biggest picture, you know, our society has been through a number of these big changes. You know, we started as hunter-gatherers, and then we became an agricultural society. And then sort of in the late 1700s, early 1800s, we transitioned to become an industrial society. And what's happening and what's been happening for the last 30 years or so is that we're now transitioning to this technological economy. And that is a major, major shift. Because, you know, we'd sort of all got used to working in the industrial economy, and now we're going to have to get used to living and working in the technological age. And I think it's going to be one of the biggest shifts in human history.
And so, James, where are we on the timeline of this? Are we are we already seeing this tech revolution, and so we can have a sense that we have, okay, I kind of get a feeling for how this is going to go, or are you describing something that's such a huge tidal wave coming that everything we've seen to date pales in comparison to what's to come?
Well, we've already seen a lot of changes. I mean, if you think back, you know, to 1950 and then think about today, you can already see how much change has happened in that very, very short period of time. What's happening is it's just it's broadening and it's accelerating. So, you know, the first part of this change was really around computers, microprocessors, you know, the TV. In the late 90s, you got this huge impact from the arrival of the internet. Then we had the huge impact of the smartphone revolution coming in. You know, the sort of, it was only really in 2007 that that started to impact. And what's happening now is it's happening across a whole array of areas, you know, whether it's, you know, genomics or nanotechnology or LIDAR technology, or the really big one is probably artificial intelligence. You've now got a whole bunch of these technological revolutions going on that are enabling society to change and change broadly and more quickly than it's ever had to do in the past.
Wow. So you're definitely describing from end to end fast, dramatic change. Should people listening to this be excited by the tech revolution?
I think, as with most things, people should be both excited and concerned. I personally am probably 80% excited and 20% concerned. We have the opportunity in the coming 20 years to redefine what it is that we believe about human society. I really believe that the change is going to be that profound. And so we can push that in a direction, you know, of a society that we would all want to live in. But if we don't act, and if we just have everything happening to us, then there is a danger that society will end up being significantly worse for a very significant proportion of the population. And I think that's our opportunity and our risk in the coming two decades.
We're talking with James McCann. He's the author of the new Forbes book, Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. By the way, we're going to continue this interview by podcast, so you can also find it at Forbes book. There's one of those edits we were talking about, James. You can also find it at ForbesBooks.com/radio. In addition to being the author of the book Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, he has a very, very deep background in consumer goods and retail. Today he's an investor, a board member, an advisor, a speaker. And one of the things I want to ask you, James, is as we're looking at this tech revolution, it seems to me that on one hand, there's a lot of players who need to act to get ready for this. And I think it's pretty clear we're not ready for this. But some of the players who need to act, ironically, seem to me young people, millennials, people who are in school today, and also their parents. It seems to me that parents need to be prepared so that they have a place in the workforce today and tomorrow. And young people need to be looking ahead to make sure that they have a place in the workforce for a very, very long time and that they really profit from it instead of being left behind.
Greg, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, this tech revolution is going to impact everyone in society. And so everybody needs to research what it means, start to understand what the impact for them and their families may be and their businesses if they're running a company. And then they need to start to think about how they're going to manage and cope as this change continues to accelerate and broaden. I think younger people are just going to have to live with, you know, these changes for much longer. And those changes will continue to broaden and accelerate because the biggest single shift in moving from, the industrial economy to the technological economy is that everything is going to change at that accelerating technological pace. You know, we all know how our computers and our telephones, you know, seem to change every 3 years and we have to update to a new model. That's just going to happen now across most aspects of our society. And people are going to need to learn to live with that. I don't think there is an opt-out clause. I think people are going to be in this, and they can choose, you know, to try to make the most of it and turn our society into something better. But if they ignore it, it's likely that it will have a negative impact on their lives.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, James, in talking about the accelerating pace of this, moving from the Industrial Revolution to the technology era that we're in that's really exploding. What do you tell people who are reluctant to embrace that, where they say, I can't tell you, sometimes younger and sometimes older, as I'm a speaker and I speak all over the place, and I hear people say, I just don't care. I'm going to go back to the old way of doing it. I can't understand this technology. I don't want to learn it. I don't have time. What do you say to those people who are, as you were mentioning there, reluctant?
Well, the good news for some of those people is that the way the technology is evolving is likely to make it much simpler for them to interface with technology and the tech revolution. You know, the fact that we're going to be able to interface by voice. You know, the fact that we're going to probably within a decade be able to interface directly from our brains with computers and with technology. That is being developed as we speak. You know, the US DARPA organization has put billions of dollars into that research because they want to be able to provide, you know, veterans coming back from the wars with missing limbs, with artificial limbs that can move and feel. And so we are going to be directly interfacing the human mind with the world of technology around it. And that is literally happening now. There is, I think the latest example I saw was a disabled fighter pilot who's now able to control three F-15 fighter jets with his mind alone. Mm. So that is going to make it easier for everybody to interact and interface with this world. But I think there is no option to not do it unless you're prepared to sort of move off grid in a pretty substantial way. Everybody who's in work and who's living in mainstream society is going to have to manage these changes as they happen.
What's fascinating me as I read the book, James, and the book title is Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide. It's really fascinating to me that you're really approaching this from a couple of different angles. The essential guide part is a perfect subtitle for the book because you're really breaking down how businesses, startups begin and what's key for them to be successful. And I suspect that part of the message here is that we as individuals are going to have to start thinking of ourselves almost like startups and reinventing ourselves every few years as the technology around us changes every few years.
I think that's one of, I think if we just look at the broader picture, society as a whole, I believe, is going to have to rethink what it values. Today, we value economic worth. And I think we're going to have to broaden that to be valuing societal worth. And then within that, we're going to have to take a whole bunch of actions in order to help people to make this transition to have worthwhile lives in the tech age and in the robot age. I think we're going to have to help people to retrain. I think we're going to have to help people to reduce the amount of sort of normal work that they do to become much more entrepreneurial and do much more voluntary types of work. And I think we're going to have to put a safety net in place where we essentially redistribute some of the gains from the tech age to enable people to have a safety net underneath them. And the point that you're making, Greg, you know, the sort of middle section of the book, is really to say to people that within that world, one big way of them having a meaningful role and a life is to become much more entrepreneurial, is to, you know, we're already seeing it with the gig economy, but that's just going to broaden. And we're all going to be working for ourselves, whether it's as entrepreneurs or as intrapreneurs within organizations. We're going to be much more, we're going to need to be much more self-starting, going to need to be much, much more able to transition our businesses as the world evolves around us.
Wow, it's fascinating stuff. James, I'm wondering if you can do another segment with us because we'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation.
I'd love to.
Great. James McCann is the author of Startups and the Tech Revolution, The Essential Guide, and we look forward to our next conversation with James.
United United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Wow, having just spoken to Bill Catlett, Chairman, Board of Directors, National Foundation for Transplants, and hearing his passion and talking about people getting transplants in the U.S. and now what's happening, we are so pleased to be joined by Eric Buchanan, and he's a transplant patient. Eric, thanks for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's start with, tell us about your transplant experience. What organ did you receive and what happened that led you up to needing that organ?
So I received a double lung transplant in 2014. The need for it was because of my diagnosis of cystic fibrosis. And just like every cystic fibrosis person, they will eventually need a transplant because there is no cure for CF at the time.
And so how long were you sick, and then how long was the wait for an organ?
So I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old, but didn't really have any kind of complication or hospitalization until I think I was around 22 years old. And then even then it was tolerable. I was able to graduate from the University of Florida, and I worked for Publix for a while. And then in 2010, my lung collapsed. And I was forced to go into a disability and move in with my parents up in the Charlotte area. So from 2010 to basically 2014, I was sick, but I was just barely not sick enough to get on the transplant list. But once I was on the list, you know, it still took about a year and a half. So.
And what was that like, that period of waiting? Because one of the things we were talking with Bill Catlett about, he's the chairman of the board of directors of the National Foundation for Transplants. It's at transplants.org, mm-hmm. by the way. One of the things we were talking with him about is the fact that there are organs out there. There's just not enough people who have actually said before they passed that they would donate their organs. Really tell us, what was that year and a half wait like for you? Because what you were really waiting for was, among other things, yes, a match, but also just someone being willing to give up an organ they were no longer going to use.
Yes, it's a tough process. They do pretty well. Well, at least UNC in Chapel Hill, where I was transplanted, they do pretty well to prepare you as far as letting you know that it's going to be tough. There's going to be ups and downs. You know, at one point in my life, I couldn't take a shower without oxygen, and I was on oxygen 24/7 for about 3 years, I would say. Mm. And then it was just, you sit there on the list and you hope and you hope and you hope. But then there's another side of you that thinks, you know, man, I'm waiting for somebody to actually die. You know, somebody's child that, you know, or adult even that just died. And I'm thinking of happiness and glory because it's a new life for me. But, It is weird kind of thinking about people dying in order to give you organs. And then the fact that, you know, that some people are organ donors, but their family at the time could overturn it. It's just one of those. I just hope they go to the right person that can respect and fully understand the present they were given, the gift they were given.
Yeah, and what a gift, Eric, when you think about that and you think about what we're talking about here with organ donation. Do you ever think you would get this lucky? I mean, there is luck involved in this, and matching it and making it happen. Did you, at such a young age, to be dealing with what you dealt with, did you ever anticipate this?
I never anticipated not getting an organ. I figured I was at the age of 33 at the time, so I knew I had at least another year left, but that was still, you know, a long time to be on the transplant list. I didn't have any kind of weird antibodies to reject or to match up with the organ. And, you know, I was getting calls at first. I got 3 calls in 1 month, and then another one later on down the road, and then finally I got my call, but they were coming in, so that was inspirational. But my mom also had a lung transplant, and she had hers at Duke, actually, at the age of, let's say, 55, yeah, so around the same time. But I was more scared for her because she had just a couple limited things that they had to match up, and, you know, it was not likely for her to get one, but it seemed like it was very likely for me to get one. So I never thought that I wouldn't get one. I was always positive about my experience, no matter what.
We're talking with Eric Buchanan. He's a double lung transplant patient. He had the double lung transplant in 2014. We just did an interview earlier with Bill Catlett. He's the chairman of the board of directors of the National Foundation for Transplants. By the way, you and your family can go to transplants.org and sign up to be organ donors. We encourage you to do that during the holiday season, and tell your family and get them to do it too. You know, Eric is the living, walking, breathing embodiment of somebody making that incredible gift. Eric, when you, I don't know how this process works. You do. You went through it. But I can imagine there's this point where, you know, today's the day. This transplant is going to happen. And I want to hear from you. What was it like for you when you, following the surgery, what happened when you woke up?
Yeah, so I had a apartment close to Chapel Hill because, like I mentioned earlier, my parents lived in the Charlotte area. And so it was about 3 hours, maybe 2.5 hours to Charlotte from Chapel Hill. And I got an apartment because I was getting all kinds of calls in I guess it was June. So July 4th weekend, I packed up and moved to the apartment so I could be close to her. Excuse me. So it wasn't so devastating for me to hear a no and then have to travel, you know, 3 hours, 2.5 hours back. So, you know, we anticipated it eventually, but then we didn't get another call. I didn't get another call until November. So that was, I was like, oh, well, you know, I kind of jumped the gun. And then I guess I got a little scared at that point that it might not happen, but I never let it enter my brain, I don't think, because I was very positive about it. But when I did get the final call, I was actually back in Charlotte on Christmas Eve celebrating Christmas with my parents. So
oh my gosh.
At 7 in the morning on Christmas Eve 2014, I got a call from the lung transplant coordinator. And he says, Eric, we have an organ that looks really good, and we need you to come up and, you know, ASAP. And I said, okay, wow. Before that, they didn't, you know, they said, you know, pack your bags and blah, 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 and, you know, come on up here. And I'd wait in the ER for a while. But as soon as I got there, I just had this feeling because all my family was in town. And at that point, I just kind of felt like this was different. This was it, you know. So I'm driving up to UNC and thinking about it the whole time and thinking this is what's planned. This is going to happen. And then everybody was showing up kind of late after I got there. And they immediately got me up to the OR prep area and just signing waivers. And, you know, and then at that point, you know, my mom and everybody got there. And I think they felt it too. So they took my oxygen off and had me walk into the OR, which I thought was a little unorthodox. And I had never gotten through the operating room doors. I was on the cusp of it always, but not in the OR. So I walked to the OR and they started setting things up, and I was just, yeah, I knew that was it. You know, I knew that there was no way that they were going to get me that far and say, no, it's not looking good. But they could have, but they didn't. So everything worked out great. And as far as waking up right after transplant, you know, you're still groggy from the drugs and supposed to be in a lot of pain, but they keep that well monitored and under control. So I remember waking up and they took out the trach right away. And I remember just feeling low on oxygen, just freaking out because I didn't have a nasal cannula for oxygen to come in. And that was like a childhood blanket to me. You know, it was very important that I had that all the time. But I could fully breathe. I just had to expand my lungs more because they had been, you know, kind of closed down for a while. So, but it was definitely surreal being able to walk with, you know, without oxygen. And there's actually, I have it recorded on a YouTube video. So of my first walk, and it was less than 24 hours of surgery. So it was, and then
that's incredible.
I still feel these. Yes, ma'am. It was amazing. So I still feel these moments where if I climb to the top of a mountain and, you know, in Boone or somewhere and just, you know, or run, or I started playing ice hockey again. It's just in that moment is when, you know, you think, holy cow, this is happening. I haven't done this since, you know, and those are the moments that you realize the gift you have, I think. So.
Yeah. What a perfect place to end this. Eric Buchanan, thank you so much. Double lung recipient. Wow. Amazing story. Thank you. We appreciate you coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.